Looking for a new sports show?
So my wife and I go to the movies because you have to go opening weekend.
Yeah, I was with my boy, so he got us right up to the front of the line of this new club.
So I'm stuck watching my sister's dog again. He's throwing up all night.
2.5 games back in the standings, I feel like the Mets are one big bat away from competing. Imagine that. A sports show that's about sports. The Joe Fan Show. Are you fan enough?
Welcome to the Joe Fan Show with your host, Clayton Hamilton.
Greetings, sports fans. My name is Clayton Hamilton, and you're listening to the Joe Fan Show, coming to you live from fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, the greatest city in the world, right here on the home of Vegas sports, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Let's check the headlines. Damian Lillard scored 50 as the Trailblazers beat the Kings 118-110 in Sacramento last night. Dame needed only 29 minutes to rack up half a hundred before sitting out the fourth quarter. It was the fourth time he scored 50 or more in his career. Portland is currently 31-25, sitting fifth in the Western Conference. Puerto Rico beat the Dominican Republic 9-4 on the strength of a Jonathan Morales three-run homer to win back-to-back Caribbean World Series titles for the first time since 1992-93. And the New York Islanders rallied to beat the Red Wings 7-6 in overtime last night after scoring four power play goals in a span of 3 minutes and 37 seconds. Brock Nelson's second career hat trick ended it. Matthew Barzell became the first rookie in NHL history to have a pair of five-assist games in a season. It was his third five-point game, becoming the first rookie in 100 years to accomplish that feat since Joe Malone did it in the NHL's inaugural season all the way back in the 1917-1918 campaign. Today we have Matt Reed and Stefan Filial. This is the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Are you fan enough?
Get loud and let's get proud, 'cause we got a game to play. Game on, let's play ball. There won't be a better time to give it our all. Stand tall, let's get it on. I know you hear that crowd, they're about to get loud. It's game on.
The Joe Fan Show is brought to you by the Las Vegas Pain Relief Center, with locations in both Henderson and on the West Side. Dr. John Petrick and his dedicated staff are committed to helping you lead a pain-free life. Visit them at lvprc.com and take the first step toward a feeling great. Clayton Hamilton here in Las Vegas, always feeling wonderful out in Oakland, California. My good buddy Matt Reed. Welcome, Matt.
Hey, Clayton. Good to be here.
How you doing, man?
I am great. Actually, you know what? Last night I drove down to L.A., Clayton. I got a very small piece, but a horse that I own is running at Santa Anita today in the sixth race in the San Vicente Stakes, number 5, Cantaca. 5-1 on the morning line. He won, broke his maiden on opening day at Santa Anita, going seven furlongs today, taking on some Baffert big boys, but he's going to run well, so looking forward to it.
Who's in the irons for you?
Flavien Prat, the Frenchman, who's been out here for 3 or 4 years now and has really started to make a name for himself. So, yeah, it should be a fun day and beautiful weather down here in Southern California.
Right adjacent to Santa Anita in the mall there, there's a Chinese restaurant that serves soup dumplings. They're fantastic.
Good to know, man. If I end up in the winner's circle, maybe I'll end up there after.
Yeah, just go in there. It's on the second floor, second level of the restaurant. Fantastic. Soup inside a dumpling.
Who knew, huh?
Yeah, who knew? Exactly. Well, I hope your day goes a little bit better than mine. Lots of heavy wind in Pyeongchang today. It is delaying the men's normal hill. Kamil Stock sitting in second place on the normal hill after the first jump. He's got some work to do, and I was hoping I'd get to see it before we went on the air, but they keep having to delay it because of the wind, so I don't know if I'm going to get to see him or not. I got him on the phone, but it keeps freezing up on me. It's killing me.
That's your boy, too, right there. So hopefully, yeah. Well, if it works out for you, the wind will keep blowing for another hour. So,
yeah, exactly. That's what I'm really
– until we're off the air.
I'm really hoping for that. I'm really, you know, more into the large hill. This is the normal hill, so just the warm-up. So even if Kamil Stock does not get it done today, he still has another shot later in the week. Olympics starting. I'm already running on fumes. I was up almost all night last night. I had to catch the first and second run of the luge. Had to catch the women's 15-kilometer skiathlon. Could you believe it? Norway, Sweden, Norway, Finland, 1, 2, 3, and cross-country skiing. Imagine that.
Shocking, right?
Shocking.
What channel are you watching these on?
I'm watching on my phone. I got I watch it on the
Olympic app.
The Olympic app, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
Say, cause I know they're televising everything live, right?
Yeah, everything's live. But on the app, you can see the whole event. Like the skiathlon, if you had NBC Sports, they would cut back and forth between curling, and you don't get to see the whole thing. So you can watch the whole event start to end. Same here with the ski jumping. I get the whole event beginning to end. They don't just cut in and out for me. And very few commercial breaks on the app. So that's the way to go.
Nothing wrong with that.
I also watched Japan and Sweden in women's hockey today. Sweden needed a late third period goal to pull out a 2-1 victory over Japan. They should have won that game 6-0.
but they pulled it out. Huh?
Yeah, they did pull it out. So all's well so far, holding to form in the women's hockey tournament. Vegas Golden Knights 36-14-4. Matt, 76 points on the ledger, coming home for 7.
I love these homestands. Huh? When they come home for a homestand, it's a legit homestand.
That's the longest one. They just got off a 6-game road trip, so 7-game homestand. It's a little harder out in the West because it's so much further for the travel than this team's, New York, New Jersey, Boston. It's such a short trip
exactly.
For all those guys there.
All those right within the stone's throw. But, what more can we say about the Golden Knights? I mean, cruising right now, right?
They are. Philadelphia's coming to town on Saturday or Sunday, and I just hope that some angry fellow from Philadelphia doesn't lose $5,000 on the game and decide to punch me in the middle of the postgame show. That's like my biggest fear.
That's your biggest fear, Philly fans?
Yes. Yes.
Well, you're not a police horse, so the odds of you getting punched are probably slimmer than most, right?
Yeah, I hope so. Let's hope so.
A lot of people cashed some big bets on that Super Bowl, didn't they?
Yeah, maybe they're all still drunk from the parade, or they're still in jail from the parade. That's possible.
Hey, that was one heck of a football game, though.
Yeah, it was. It was good times. I had a good time. Until the Patriots lose, I had a good time. I really liked the Tom Brady not catching a pass because he's kind of a whiner about people not catching passes. So
yeah, all I hear in my head was Steve going, "Oh no, that's Steve's boy right there."
It is.
And you know what? I mean, not that that was the difference in the game, but at the time, I would have kept the drive going, and who knows what happens, but. Yeah, and then on the other side, Nick Foles, he can catch.
Yeah.
That was a huge, huge fourth down touchdown catch. And, I mean, the game he played was, I think just from the play calling, the whole game the Eagles played. But Nick Foles, I mean, I think he really stepped up, and we saw against Minnesota and against New England that, he can still fling it around there a little bit.
And they had that big fourth down call again to go for it right just past midfield. So kudos to the Eagles.
Yeah, he hit Ertz, and it was kind of like right at the line. But, you're right. I mean, and that's, Doug Peterson, people gave Doug Peterson a lot of flack for maybe not being the best coach. But I'll tell you what, he's got a set of balls on him because, he didn't think twice on any of these plays. He knows if you're going to win, that's how you have to win the Super Bowl. And he did it. And, more power to him. And I think this is an Eagles team, too, where if they just keep the squad together, with Wentz coming back, This is a team that will contend for a few years.
What did we learn, though, about bad play calling, though, is don't go for two so early in the game. Don't chase it. Because how many points did they leave on the board by chasing? 3.
Yeah, every time. Yep. We say it every time. Just take the points.
Take the points.
The same with field goals. Although it was funny, New England had that 4th-and-1, and they decided to go for a field goal instead of instead of going for it and end up being the bad snap and the botched field goal. And once extra points start getting missed and going for two, and everyone's Super Bowl squares were just toast after that.
They were, except I was one of those people. I was like, why are you chasing? And then they're like, oh, Clayton, you won halftime. I was like, oh, that's great. Good job. Yeah, keep
sweet,
chasing.
Huh?
Yeah, I had the old 2-2. I didn't even know. Like, I signed and they draw and they put it in the back of the room and I didn't even know what numbers I had. And that was a nice surprise.
Nice then, huh?
Yeah. So, yeah, keep chasing, but it was a dumb move, but worked out for me.
That's funny. You know, 2-2, like, but before the two-point conversion, if you had 2-2, you basically had zero shot, you know?
Right.
Now with two-point conversions and extra points where they actually have to make a legit kick, and yeah, it throws it all in the window.
Yeah, every square is in play now. I guess Roger Goodell got his wish.
That's what it was, right?
Yeah.
Make sure the squares work for everybody.
It was just funny because he's so anti-gambling, and yet everything he does helps gambling.
Yeah, I think it's a whole posturing move, this anti-gambling, because you watch once this PAPSPA gets overturned and gambling starts, you know, picking up in other states, NFL is going to be on board, no doubt.
Yeah, they probably will. About that ridiculous, like, 1%, the NBA.
Yeah.
So, never going to happen. Never going to happen. Yeah, Jay Cornegy at the Westgate was laughing. He was just laughing at the NBA. He was like, ah, no. Never going to happen. Hey, so there was some NFL news beyond the Super Bowl, and Josh McDaniels, what happened? He broke up with Indy before the homecoming dance.
Did he play them? Was this in the cards all along? People keep saying that. I don't think it was that, maniacal, but it sure isn't a good look for the Colts, especially, you wait around and now with the, with the rules, you got to wait for the team to be out of the playoffs, or with New England, you got to wait for them to be done with the Super Bowl. And so all these coaches go all these other teams, and you think you got a guy locked up and gets cold feet last minute. And yeah, that was a bold move. I mean, New England realized in this league, head coaches obviously are great, but coordinators, especially a good coordinator, is probably just as much, has just as much value as a head coach. So New England understands this, and last minute, they sweeten the pot. Belichick says he's going to open the vault and teach McDaniels everything he knows, and they got him to stay. So, I mean, I could see it from both sides. If I'm Indy, I'm pissed. I mean, you hire assistants, you have it all set up. You had the press conference. I mean, it was just crazy. And then if you're New England, you're happy. You keep your offensive assistant who, this offense has been rolling and no reason won't keep rolling. So,
what do you do now if you are Indy?
It's a mess because you have assistants that are under contract. So, you have to buy them out, or I don't know how you get rid of them, or you have to keep them around. I think what they're going to do is they're going to bring in a coach for 1 year, a guy like Leslie Frazier's name keeps coming up. He's got ties with Indianapolis. He's good friends with Jim Irsay. He can come in, take what staff's already there, do what they have to do for a year until they can decide, what the next move is. Other than that, I mean, guys like Dan Campbell down in New Orleans has been mentioned, Frank Reich, but again, that's a situation where I think these two guys have the potential to be head coaches in the NFL, but they're going to want to come in with their own staff and set things up their own way. They don't want to come in to this kind of debacle, I wouldn't think. So, yeah, I would look for a veteran guy. Leslie Frazier would be the one. And you know what? Jeff Fisher is still out there. Just saying.
Yeah, you want to talk about an irate fan base to go from the Josh McDaniels to, hey, who else is probably available? You can probably get Lane Kiffin out of that deal that he's got.
Ooh.
In Florida. Well, what about reaching out to Tony Dungy, the one-year stopgap?
If Dungy would come out of retirement, they would take it, but he's not touching this with a 10-foot pole. As much as he loves the Colts, he's not coming anywhere close to this. He's got one of those cush TV jobs now.
Yeah, that's the way to go, although Gruden got out of his cush TV job to go back with the Raiders, but $100 million will do that. Jimmy Garoppolo,
yeah, exactly.
He got a whole lot of money. Went 5-0 with the San Francisco 49ers. Gets a 5-year, $137.5 million deal. What do you think about that?
That is a nice chunk of change right there. And quarterback who we saw last year with Carr getting a big contract and then Stafford up in that one. Now Garoppolo ups this one. Does that mean Cousins gets on top of this one? And I mean, sky's the limit from here with these quarterbacks.
Yeah, what happens to Kirk Cousins?
What's that?
What happens to Kirk Cousins?
Oh, he gets paid even more than this now, wherever he ends up. I mean, he's proven. As great as Garoppolo was, and believe me, he was great down the stretch. I mean, that football team really turned around, and his play was impressive. And I think he's got it in him for more years. I don't think this is a one-hit wonder, but it is only a five-game sample that we've seen out of him, where Cousins has a couple, two, three solid years under his belt of film, where he's a proven guy. So yeah, Cousins going to get paid, but with Garoppolo, yeah, it makes the Niners legit as far as if you're a receiver, you got a franchise quarterback that's here to stay, that's good. Why not, be a free agent and want to come in and play under this system, especially with Kyle Shanahan. I think, especially an offensive guy, I think you're going to see, them really, be in play for maybe a big time receiver to go along with guys like, Goodwin and Pierre Garçon. And we got to remember, Garçon was hurt, so really Marquise Goodwin was his number one receiver for those last five games. And Marquise Goodwin, as well as he played down the stretch, he's not a number one receiver on any team in the NFL. So this is, it's a good thing for the Niners.
And now if they could get anybody to run the ball, at least Carlos Hyde was healthy last year and played 15 games. The problem was in those 15 games, he only got 940 yards. He's just a 3.9 guy. They need a little bit more production out of him. But if they could find a running back or somebody to complement what's going on with the passing game, San Francisco could jump right back into playoff contention.
Yeah, they absolutely could, and that's why that their pick. I think they have a flip with the Raiders between I think it was 9 or 10 or 10 or 11. If they can find a way to trade up, Saquon Barkley would be I think an amazing fit in a McDaniels offense, and on that team it would be something else. So I don't think Barkley falls anywhere near down to 9 or 10. So it would have to be a trade up to get him. But yeah, that would be a guy that could fit in nicely there. And also, you got to remember, though, that the NFC West is, the Rams are going to be competitive for a few years now, thank God. And Seattle's probably not going away. They're definitely not going to be the top of the division. And Arizona, I mean, yeah, maybe they're on the bottom of the division, but depending on what they do, they can still play a little bit. They still have a good defense. So as well as Garoppolo played and as big of a signing this is, yeah, they need a couple more pieces to really be true contenders in the West, I think.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to see what happens all throughout that division with free agents, and where's Richard Sherman going to go, and what are the Seahawks going to do? Are they going to go into a rebuild? Are they going to try and compete? And hey, a little let you know, Matt, that our good buddy Rob Jackson from Heroes in the Rough going to be here next week, which means we're going to talk Seattle Seahawk football so we can dive into what they're going to do in the offseason. But it should be fun in the West, and to have the West and the NFC competitive again is a pretty good look for the NFL. When we come back, Stefan Filial going to join us. A whole lot went down on the trade deadline, and we're going to break it all down for you right here on the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio 920, The Game. Welcome back to the Joe Fan Show here in Las Vegas. Clayton Hamilton along with Matt Reed out in Oakland, California, and it is time to talk a little basketball. We're going to bring in our NBA guy fresh off his stint in Los Angeles. Not Blake Griffin, but Stefan Filial in the house. Welcome, Stefan.
Hey, what's up? What's up?
I have, before we continue, some breaking news. Shocker. Upset century, Matt. Kamil Stock going to finish off the podium in the Normal Hill. Got hit with a pretty nasty crosswind. Came up with a lame second jump. Going to finish sixth in the men's Normal Hill, maybe fifth. Andreas Wellner of Germany, your Olympic champion on the Normal Hill. Kamil Stock goes down.
Yeah, how many times did it take you to practice to say that name?
Like twice.
Well, he's a Big Hill guy, Clay.
Yeah, that's right. He's a Big Hill guy. He's a larger guy. He was the defending champion in the Normal Hill. But huge news, although Andreas Wellner, he's a guy not to be trifled with. He can jump on the Big Hill as well. Also on the Super Big Hill, beyond the large hill. Then it's called ski flying ski jumping. Ski flying. Not in the Olympics, though, the ski flying. But, oh, Kamil Stock, the wind. Treacherous today.
Clayton, I mean, you prepare your whole life for this situation, especially an Olympian who, you get one shot every 4 years. And Mother Nature still undefeated, huh?
Yeah, it was tough today. They were on the bar. They were off the bar, on the bar, off the bar. And, he just did not get favorable wind for either of his jumps. Going to be off the podium. Tough day in Poland. Tough day, Stefan.
Tough day.
Stefan's looking at me, so I don't even know what to say.
Wow. Nothing. My winter sports are inside.
Yeah, what a way to start. Day one of the Olympics. We already have controversy. Terrible. Hey, so, Stefan, pretty busy day. Trade deadline. Sometimes they come and go and you get all excited and then nothing really happens.
All that smoke, no fire.
Yeah, but lots of fire in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Let us go through that. Isaiah Thomas played, 15 games.
Yeah. Yeah,
and now he's your Los Angeles Laker property.
He is, and his first game is today,
Yeah,
actually.
They play the Mavericks this evening.
Yeah, man, I just want to see what he's going to do. It's his contract year. With Zoe out, he's definitely going to have a lot of time. He's going to have a chance to prove himself again. And he made a good point upon his arrival. It was like when he joined the Celtics, they were a young team that was making a final push for the playoffs. And Lakers are actually only 5 games out of the A spot. And so I think that's what he has in his sights. When he went to the Celtics, he was definitely healthy. And so we'll see how his hips play in tonight's game.
He said he's not going to come off the bench.
He will.
Is he going to keep his? He's going to come.
Not when Lonzo's out, but he might have to play that sixth man because that's when he was at his best in Boston. Mm-hmm. And Lakers are going to need firepower coming off the bench, especially after losing Jordan Clarkson.
What do you make of that, Clarkson and Nance? Those are two guys that you really liked as Lakers.
Yeah, Larry Nance, man, he's my IQ guy. He's the guy that'll come in and spark your bench with a highlight dunk, a highlight block. His IQ is just, man, it's I really like rotation players that can come in and make an impact and that are solid and know their role. And Jordan Clarkson was just now finding his with the Lakers. And Larry Nance, he's been just the most consistent guy. He can stretch the floor, need be. JC, he'll push the pace. He'll be really big for the Cavs come playoff time, actually.
The biggest question now becomes, Matt, you know how some of these guys bring their friends with them to the All-Star weekend? Does this mess up his dunk plan now that he might not have a teammate to help him?
Yeah, that is. That's tough now, right? What are you going to do?
Probably his dad.
Yeah?
He'll probably bring his dad out. His dad played for the Cavs. He's very well known there. You know, first ever slam dunk champion. And he'll make it work. He'll get a lot of love in L.A. He's going to get a lot of love.
When the Cavaliers, who have been in all sorts of trouble, Matt, as of recently, they came out and they blew out the old Atlanta Hawks, which one should do. But we've seen Cleveland be so bad that they've been losing to everybody. Is it overreaction for people to think that Cleveland's in as much trouble as people say they are? Or is this just LeBron coming out and saying, see, we can turn it on whenever we want to turn it on, and tonight we wanted to turn it on?
No, if they wanted to turn it on, there's been stretches this year where they need to turn it on to prove that, and they weren't able to turn it on. Yes, this team definitely has an overhaul, and maybe it got better. And I think LeBron's play, he stepped up. He's been a big facilitator his whole career, but especially these last two games. I said, I think he had 17 assists last night, which was a career high, at 15 the game before. So he's, the ball's in his hands, and with these new guys, they're kind of getting the feel for that. And yeah, not as much panic as you need, but they're still going to have trouble getting out of the East, and they have no chance to beat Golden State.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Matt. It's funny because I hope analysts and guys don't come out and say, oh, he needs somebody. Oh, he needs somebody to take him off the ball. He's working too hard, because we see that does not work. It only worked with Kyrie because he was so good that you had to give Kyrie the ball. Mm-hmm. And with LeBron, he has to have the ball in his hands to facilitate the offense, because that's the only way he's going to be happy, and that's the best, that's the most efficient they're going to be. So he's going to need a knockdown shooter at the point guard position that can receive those passes. I mean, we saw last night Kyle Korver finally had, what, like 30 point game in forever. Mm-hmm. all these guys are just spotting up. And so we'll see how that works come playoff time. But yeah, like Matt said, they don't have any chance against the Warriors.
They do have the Kyle Korver to play that role. Rodney Hood is an upgrade over anybody else that they had in terms of shooting.
Yeah.
It's just become a question, Matt, mm-hmm. How soon does LeBron trust Rodney Hood to shoot? Will he trust him more than he trusts J.R. Smith, even though Rodney Hood's a better shooter than J.R. Smith?
Yeah, no, he will. I think, he has to. And then I think, like you said, we saw Korver knock down shots. I think, the thing with bringing in Hood is he can knock down shots. Clarkson's not so much a knockdown shooter, but he can still make plays. And Kevin Love can knock down shots. So, the ball has to be in LeBron's hands. He's got to trust the guys he has. I mean, this is last year in Cleveland, right? So, go out doing everything you can.
Well, to that point, his last year in Cleveland, so much speculation for a long time. It's an automatic that he and Paul George are going to the Lakers. They cleared a bunch of cap space going forward. Magic Johnson said they're going to bring in two legit stars. Are those two stars LeBron and Paul George?
No.
Good.
I'm sorry. I'm definitely one Laker fan that does not want to see LeBron in a Laker jersey. I don't care what anybody says with his position and what he does. Lonzo already does that. I mean, you want that coming from the point guard position. You don't want that coming from your power forward or your small forward. And I feel like that would throw everything off. I think the Lakers get one big one. I mean, I think they get Paul George this year, and I think they go after somebody like Klay Thompson in 2019.
Do you agree?
That's funny. I was talking to my brother, who's a huge Laker fan, and he says he has a guy that works with Kobe, and Kobe's in the know, and it is Paul George, LeBron for sure. And I said, okay, yeah, we'll see if that really happens. You never know, coming down, teams start, whining and dining these guys, and things can change in a hurry. I say Paul George for sure. LeBron still up in the air for me.
I have found in this business that when you know a guy that knows a guy that knows a guy, that guy, never wrong.
The sources.
Yeah, exactly. Never wrong, right?
You should just go with my unnamed sources.
Just say sources.
Yeah,
sources.
My inside sources say that that's what it's going to happen. I would just think that, I don't know, it would just bore me if Paul George and LeBron James go to the Lakers. That's the worst case scenario for me, so that's probably what will happen.
It wouldn't bore you because it would create so many problems that you'd probably enjoy it.
Yeah.
I don't see it working because
I feel like I would dive even deeper into hockey if that happened.
But the Lakers wouldn't, they'd win, but it wouldn't be, that's not a team. I don't think that's a team that's going to take you to the finals. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's like Paul George and a healthy DeMarcus Cousins, that's exciting. Like, I don't want to see LeBron James take the ball out of Lonzo Ball's hands. Like, it's just not it. Yeah, it disgusts me, honestly.
What do you make of
that's awesome is that I bet you 99% of Laker fans would do anything they could to get LeBron. Here no. You have Stephon.
He's on his way agonizing, down, bro.
Agonizing over the fact that they could pick up one of the greatest players in NBA history.
Yeah, yeah. He has an expiration date, man. And mm-hmm. I don't want his expiration date to be with the Lakers for a year.
He's got a house out here. His kids care. Are going to school out here next year.
The NBA has a house in L.A.
Hey, would you rather him be a Clipper?
I don't care. The Clippers ain't going to go nowhere.
We got to talk about the Clippers. Let's go to break right now. Let's break a little bit early. Let's go there, and then we will come back and talk about the Clippers and the Lakers and what the future of basketball is next year and beyond in the NBA right here on the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio, 920 The Game. And welcome back to the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio. Clayton Hamilton, Stephon Phil, y'all here in Las Vegas. Matt Reed out in Oakland, California. And Matt, it is official. Andreas Wellinger, Germany, 1. Johannes Forfang, Norway, 2. Robert Johansson, Norway, 3. Kamil Stock, off the podium.
For our first Olympic upset, huh?
First Olympic upset, Normal Hill. Stay tuned, though. Team event for Poland, Large Hill for Poland. It's not over. It's not over yet. So, Stephon, it might be over
for
the window of the Los Angeles Clippers.
Shut.
They trade Blake Griffin, which may make them better. They re-sign Lou Williams, which does make them better.
Yeah.
Lou Williams might not survive his 3-year contract. Milos Teodosic wondering why he took less money to leave Europe but to come over. LeBron James may be a Clipper if he's not a Laker. DeAndre Jordan may get traded.
No, the Clippers don't have enough stars for LeBron to come over to.
Yeah.
You know, he needs a...
What's going to happen with DeAndre?
He's gone.
He survived. Yeah, I mean, he survived this trade deadline.
Oh, he didn't survive. But they kind of just left him on a boat somewhere.
Right.
Just for somebody to pick him up, and nobody came to get him.
So what happens with him going forward?
He's gone. He has plenty of options. The Clippers thought they had a trade with the Cavs for DeAndre at the trade deadline, and then the Cavs ended up going in many different directions.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes me think is like Jerry West, what this does to his plan. Because I think what he was trying to do was get in a couple of veterans that were signed to maybe like pretty much what the Cavs did, like signed to 1 or 2 years already, and then bring in some guys, some like superstar guys. But that didn't happen. Hence, one of the reasons why they extended Lou Williams.
Mm-hmm.
They're definitely starting over. They don't have anybody.
What do you do if you're DeAndre Jordan, Matt? Because he spent all that time in L.A. being the guy that was always going to be the one that was shipped out. And then Chris Paul leaves, and then Blake Griffin is traded, and he's still there. He survived.
I don't think it's as terrible as we're making out with the Clippers. I mean, you got Sweet Lou there for another couple of years.
Who else?
And I put all trust in Jerry West that he knows what he's doing. He built up the Lakers. He helped build up the Warriors. When Memphis was good, who built up Memphis? Jerry West. So I'm not putting anything past Jerry West. I think getting Griffin out of town was a good thing. DeAndre is still on the fence. I mean, yeah, he might be gone, but I wouldn't say that's a certain thing. I think they'll reevaluate in a year. I think who should be gone and who will be gone is Doc Rivers.
Mm. Yes. Now, Doc Rivers seems to be the central point of all things that have gone wrong with the Clippers. I think finally get to the point where we can stop blaming Vinny Del Negro for the Clippers not succeeding, and because it did not work with Doc Rivers, the savior of all things.
Yeah, it wasn't the whole Mark Jackson, Steve Kerr situation.
Right.
Where they actually got better.
Right, exactly. Mark Jackson took them as far as he could, mm-hmm. and then Steve Kerr took them the rest of the way, mm-hmm. where Vinny Del Negro just took the Clippers where they are, and Doc Rivers continued to be where they are.
Yeah, with just different names.
Right.
Well, I don't know. Steve Ballmer seems to have bought in with Doc Rivers, but I think as soon as they move into this new facility and have their own little space, they're going to go in a different direction. Because when you do that and you're starting over, you want to start completely over. Like, you don't necessarily want things from the past, no matter how good they got, you know, second round. You don't want it to linger over. You kind of want this fresh spirit, this fresh energy, which is to Matt's point, why he may not, why Lou Williams may not last his 3 years. But Doc Rivers, I don't know, he just seems tired. I think he's he has a lot on his shoulders, and he's either tired or comfortable, and both are bad. And so, I think you've got to go in a different direction at some point, possibly this offseason.
So if you're sitting around and you're the Clippers or you're Utah or you're Denver, Matt, who would you rather be?
I'd rather be Denver right now. I think Denver is a team that could be built around Jokic and Jamal Murray. I think those are the two young players that you could build around. Gary Harris, I really like. Will Barton. I think they have players. Trey Lyles, who I always liked in Utah, that went to Denver, you know, this year and is playing well. I think they have pieces to where, you know, if they could add, you know, one more star to that team, I think that's a team that is up and coming in the West and could make noise. And I've always been a Coach Malone fan. I thought he did a great job in Sacramento with Cousins, and I think when he left is when they really went downhill. So, I'd rather be Denver right now.
Yeah, I'm with him on that. Jazz gave up Rodney Hood. I think that's a problem. I think the Clippers are going to fall out of the playoffs. Although they do keep winning because of Lou Williams. Denver's right in the middle of it. We'll see what they can do. They gave up Moutier.
Mm-hmm. Moutier's gone. Rodney Hood's gone. George Hill's gone. They brought in Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose
they dropped him right after that. Oh, yeah. He's a free agent.
He doesn't seem like a Salt Lake City kind of guy. Derrick Rose.
Yeah, no, he'll probably go to the Timberwolves and reunite with Thibodeau. Mm-hmm. And that whole that's Bulls West pretty much. I mean, you got Taj Gibson, you got Jimmy Butler, and then you're bringing back Derrick Rose. Yeah, he'll probably feel comfortable in that home there. But yeah, the Jazz, man, I don't know. I was a little surprised about that Rodney Hood trade, to be honest. But you know, Denver, they're up and coming. I'm definitely a fan of Gary Harris and the other young guy that you mentioned,
Jamal Murray.
Thank you, Jamal Murray. They're two competitive guys that will go off in a second. And so, I mean, they'll be good for a while, but I don't know. I honestly see the Lakers passing them.
Mm-hmm. What do the Nuggets need, Matt, to take the next step? To get from that fringe playoff team to being a solid fourth, fifth round seed that loses in the second round?
It's a good question. And you know what we forget too? Paul Millsap's there. You know, he's been hurt, but when they get Millsap back, that's a huge piece. And I think, you know, having that that strong rebounding power forward that can step out and hit a three, but also can bang down low. Because Jokic is just such a terrific passer that the offense can run through him. I think you add maybe another spot up shooter to that lineup, where a guy that can consistently knock down threes. I think they got Wilson Chandler playing the three right now, and his game is usually up and down. When he's hot, when he's not, he's not. So they had a consistent knockdown shooter. I think that team. That team could take a step forward, but with Millsap coming back, I mean, they're a team that can make some noise. They'd be dangerous.
See, and where it is, they were trying to get rid of Wilson Chandler as well. I think they need a lockdown point guard. I think they need somebody up at the top that, like, if they had like a healthy Patrick Beverley type guy, oh man, I think they make a huge push in the playoffs because they've got Jokic. The Joker is down there, and they've got wing guys. I think a nice, solid role player at the point guard position who can get guys in position, who can kind of more so like set guys like Gary Harris and Jamal Murray up. And I think that would definitely put them on another level.
Can you win with it on a team where you pay Mason Plumlee $14 million a year?
Ooh.
The NBA, that's the going rate these
14
days.
A year?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
$14,041,096.
Well, see, that's
Mason
why.
Plumlee going to make this year.
Well, see, that's why a lot of teams are revamping and they're selling. Mm-hmm. They're selling a lot. Because, man, they started overpaying these past 2-3 years on guys just to hit the cap floor. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know. I think that goes away pretty soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's that going to be that big a deal.
Yeah, Ken Fried making 12.9.
That's the rebounder. Hey, so, man. They've been trying to get rid of him the past 3 years, though.
Yeah. So, hey, let's go back to L.A. for a minute, to Clipperland. What do you do if you are Jerry West? Like, what is your master plan for Doc Rivers?
Doc Rivers is gone after this year. I think you got to find a coach who, maybe like a Fizdale to yes. come in. I thought Fiz did a pretty good job in Memphis. I think he would be a good guy to come in and, take this team and, obviously seeing what they can end up with, draft-wise with young guys. I think you got to get a younger mix in there and really, just start building from the ground up again. Yeah, it's not going to be pretty the first couple years, but that's the whole process. I mean, we've seen a lot of these teams with their process. They'll stay competitive with guys like Lou that can score and keep them in ball games, but it's got to be a rebuild, and Doc Rivers has to go.
I think that's the way to go, but Jerry West, I believe he commented that they're going to be the best team in LA for years to come. I don't see that happening. I do see now if LeBron goes there, that changes everything. I don't see that happening, but if he does go there, then that clearly, speeds up the process. You've got to go young. I think what he wants to do is kind of center it around a team of some nice veterans. Not necessarily your biggest star or your biggest name, but your role players, mm-hmm. and kind of have your stars young. So then even after, they're still there. I mean, I don't see them getting a Trae Young, but you know what I mean? Like right. When he comes into the league, he's going to impact the league.
Right.
And so I feel like he wants to center his team around some nice veterans that know the game. So when you bring in those young superstars, they have some mentorship and they have some consistency.
Do you think Jerry West could orchestrate something on a small window of bringing in LeBron James and getting Klay Thompson to come down and keeping DeAndre Jordan and having Taya Dosic and Lou Williams for like a 2-year, 3-year window?
I don't think you could do that with DeAndre Jordan because he's gonna demand so much money. He's gonna demand so much of that cap space that it's gonna create problems. Klay Thompson, he'll be a free agent not at the end of this year, but the following mm-hmm. year. So the free agency market at the end of this year isn't that big. It's a huge drop off after maybe the first three guys, and so I think a lot of people are gearing up for 2019. It might be a while for the Clippers. I just see us on the other side of the moon, where the league is kind of transitioning back to how things used to be. Like, even when KG was in Minnesota, like, these teams that were good before are becoming good again.
Are you available to play small forward at the league minimum spot?
Small forward? This is a new era, but I mean, I'm only about 6'2".
Is that the Plumlee minimum we're talking about? Right.
Hey, man, you give me $100K, I'll go get your towels and bring you some water.
Is there any chance that that the Clippers can become players in the free agent market, Matt, or did they need to just go draft and just totally strip it down and start over?
I mean, hey, L.A. is a destination, and then it's not hard to convince people to move to a big market. And if there are a couple young stars out there that want to take a chance, and LeBron, other than he went back to Cleveland, he got them a championship. No one ever thought Cleveland was going to get a championship. So short of going to the Cleveland Browns and turning them around, I think the Clippers are next up on the list of teams that you never think will win a championship. So if Jerry West is able to sell LeBron on that, letting him know that he'll give him a couple pieces and he'll have a 3-year window to maybe bring LA a championship, the LA Clippers a championship. But it could happen.
But the Cavs are different, though. Like LeBron put the Cavs on the map, then left, and then came back and got people. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see the Clippers going anywhere. But Jerry West has proven time and time again.
Well, bad basketball. That's the Clippers brand. So if they fall back into what they do best,
no selfies.
Steve Ballmer has
some pocket change too, and a lot of connections where it doesn't all have to be on the court. There's a whole lot off the court you could offer these guys. Yeah.
You sound like the Lakers the last 5 years.
Yeah, but you know what? LA's lame. I wouldn't want to live there. Such a lame city. Like, I wouldn't know why anybody would ever want to go there on purpose. When we come back, time for a little Q&A. This is the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio, 920 The Game. Welcome back to the Joe Fan Show. It's Q&A time. Remember, if you want to send us a question, just email us submissions@JoeFanShow or tweet us @JoeFanShow. Negotiations rapidly changing here. Stefan has just informed me, Matt, that he would play on a string of 10-day contracts.
I'll even contribute. I will.
The best is he said he would be a water boy for $100,000. Are they paying $100,000 to water boy now?
No. I'm just saying, like, I would be like your bench player water boy.
You do it all for $100,000.
I'll be your practice player. I will. Okay. I'll contribute in a game. I don't care. Like, I can produce, man.
Nice. Just remember what they said at South Central Louisiana State University. They said, water sucks. It really, really sucks. Water sucks.
Yeah, they're a Powerade.
Yeah, they're Gatorade. All right, so let's look at the old mailbox. Freddie in Las Vegas asks, will St. Mary's beat Gonzaga tonight and win the conference this year? Hashtag go Gales.
Well, they upset them in Gonzaga, so now at home, I think this is the year. St. Mary's are riding a 20-game winning streak. If you haven't seen them play, they're very solid. The guy you want to keep an eye on, Jock Landale, chance for Player of the Year awards, big 6'11 center. They keep feeding him. I think they got a good chance. Yeah, college basketball, that game's going to be great tonight, and also Michigan State, Purdue. Keep an eye on that one.
Oh, I think I got the Virginia and
Virginia Tech plays today too.
I'm calling. Would it be an upset? I mean, since Gonzaga was upset last time,
Well, you know, I don't know what the line is, but St. Mary's is ranked one position ahead of Gonzaga. It's like 11 and 12.
I'm calling an upset then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Perkins is going to go 1-for-6 from three.
I'm with you, Stefan. I think, no, St. Mary's does not win tonight. They do not even win the conference because they're going to get bit by BYU. The last game of the season, and the Zags sneak in with just the one conference loss. We're going to ask this one. Tony and Henderson wants to say, hey, what are the Mets doing? Hashtag, what are the Mets doing?
The Mets are being the Mets, Tony, and that's the best part of it all, right?
Yeah.
The good news is there's still plenty of free agents out there if you want to go sign somebody.
Oh, man. I don't know. The Mets are the Mets. Maybe they're just fans. Maybe they're building up their own Hall of Fame.
Best tweet I saw, and this was before the Todd Frazier signing, Matt, said Adrian Gonzalez is Drubal Cabrera, Jose Reyes, David Wright. The Mets now have the best infield of 2008.
Exactly. That's a beautiful thing. That's what I was thinking when I saw that Cavs trade, and they said, Isaiah Thomas, Derrick Rose, Dwayne Wade, all sent out of town. Yeah. Like, if this was 2008, it would have been unbelievable, right?
That's crazy. All right, you've been listening to the Joe Fan Show. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next Saturday. For Stefan Phil, y'all, and Matt Reed, this has been Clayton Hamilton. Enjoy the games. Enjoy the Olympics. Enjoy the comeback of Camille Stock on the Large Hill. Stay thirsty, my friends.